everyone. Welcome to our Future Melbourne Committee meeting on Tuesday, the 9th of November 2021. It is 5:30 p.m. We welcome management, members of the public, councillors. We're here in person. It's so good. We know we've still got a lot of people online, so welcome to you all as well, and to our one participant from the public so far. Thank you for joining us here in the Commons at Town Hall. It's great to see you, and it really is a fantastic symbol that our city is reopening and that we are getting going again, the fact that we're all here in person. So welcome back, councillors. The City of Melbourne respectfully acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. We also respectfully acknowledge the Bunurong Boonwurrung, the Jaja Wurrung, the Tungurung and the Wadurung peoples as traditional custodians of the land on which we govern. We are committed to our reconciliation journey, recognising that every effort we can make to strengthen relationships between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples has benefits for all Victorians. As part of our efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19 and pursuant to the provisions of sections 394 and 395 of the Local Government Act 2020, public attendance at council meetings is limited in accordance with the state government's public health guidelines. Of course, they are changing all the time at the moment as to what's allowed and what's permissible. But until the 26th of April 2022, councils do not need to provide for members of the public to attend in person. We can satisfy the public attendance test by ensuring that we are live streaming, as we are, our meetings. But we are delighted, as I said, to have members with us this evening. This meeting's recording will be made available on our council website by close of business tomorrow, and the unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be made available as soon as practicable. Can we please all check that our mobile phones are turned to silent? Make sure you're not on mute. Oh, we don't have to worry about that tonight. That's awesome. We can proceed with our agenda, which this evening comprises seven reports from management. I'd also like to mention now that councillors will consider the deferment of item 6.6 when we get to that, which is Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal A to E Sheds Upper Market Specialty Market Trading Format Improvement Project. We will consider whether that should be deferred until the meeting on the 30th of November. An apology has been received this evening, councillors, from Councillor Campbell. We want to advise everybody before we get going that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six people voting in favour of it, then it can be referred by a councillor to council for decision. Now, we're up to disclosure of conflicts of interest. Councillor Leppett.
Sorry, Lord Mayor, just to give submitters some notice, what you just said suggests that we'll listen to submissions and then consider a motion when we get to item 6.6, or
no,
just so that people aren't hanging on for quite a while.
And they have been advised. That's
they have been advised.
So
okay, great.
Before we consider that item, we'll be considering whether to defer the item.
Before submissions.
So I didn't want to make any forward promises about whether we are going to or not. That will be considered at item 6.6. Thanks, Councillor Leppett. Worth clarifying. All right, councillors, we're up to disclosures of conflicts of interest. If any councillor has either a general or material conflict of interest as defined under Local Government Act 2020 in relation to a matter to be considered by committee this evening, please disclose the nature and type of your conflict at the relevant consideration of the item. Item three, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. I'm calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 22 that occurred on Tuesday, the 19th of October, 2021. Councillor Hakim has us off and running, and I'm looking for a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Doidge, thank you. We're putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the minutes, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that item carried. Thanks, councillors. Are there any matters arising from those minutes that you would like to discuss at this point? None. Thank you. We've now going to read out the submissions and correspondence received in relation to the agenda to be considered this evening. They've all been received in accordance with the Council's governance rules. And in relation to agenda item 6.1, it's planning permit application TP-2021-603, which is Queen Victoria Market Food Hall, 68 to 81 Victoria Street, Melbourne. We've had a request to speak from Mia Zarr from Tract Consultants. Thank you, Mia. And an item of correspondence from Mia Zarr from Stanley Arcos, from B. McNicholas, who's a director of Walk-in St Kilda Road and Environ, and from Mary Lou Howie, who is the president of Friends of Queen Victoria Market. In relation to agenda item 6.2, which is planning permit application TP-2021-318, which is 299 Bourke Street and 278 to 286 Little Collins Street, Melbourne, we've had a request to speak from Chris Langford at Newmark Capital. We've had a request to speak from Simon Morris, also from Newmark Capital, and from Vaughan Connor at Contour. We've had an item of correspondence from Tristan Davies, who is with the Melbourne Heritage Action Group. In relation to agenda item 6.3, Macaulay Structure Plan 2021, we've had a request to speak from Simon Harvey, who is the chairperson of the Kensington Association, and an item of correspondence. Well, we've had 17 items of correspondence in relation to this item, all of which have been received by councillors, so thank you. In relation to agenda item 6.6, Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal, A to E Sheds, Upper Market Specialty Market Trading Format Improvement Project. We might be able to improve on the title. We've had a request to speak from Dr. Miriam Fain, who is the Secretary of the Friends of Queen Victoria Market. We've had an item of correspondence from 11 different parties. And again, thank you. We have received all of those items of correspondence in relation to this item. I'm advising some submitters that you'll be invited to address the committee at the time that the relevant item is being considered. As usual, you have 3 minutes to address the committee and to assist you. There is a countdown timer. When you've reached 2 minutes, you will hear a bell to let you know there's 1 minute left. When you hear the bell again at 3 minutes, if you could please finalise your submission at that time, we would appreciate it. There are a number of speakers this evening, and we're looking forward to everybody having a fair presentation time here at the Future Melbourne Committee meeting. So thanks everyone in advance. We're up to item 5, which is public questions, and in accordance with Council's governance rules, we allow a 15-minute period at the beginning and at the end of each of our Future Melbourne Committee meetings to enable members of the public to ask questions. To enable this to occur during this COVID period, we've been asking members of the public to submit a question in writing prior or to register to ask a question as part of a video audio link. And I'm now looking to our members of the public who are here tonight to see if they have any questions for us before I go to the questions that we'd received earlier. None, thank you. Well, there are two written questions that we've received from the public this evening. I note that in reading out the questions, I'm not attesting at all to the veracity or the factual nature. I'm literally reading verbatim from the person asking. And the first written question has been received from Carl Heschen. And Carl says, I was distressed last week to see a sign on a tree in Abbotsford Street, North Melbourne, that reads, the City of Melbourne wishes to inform you that this London plane has been vandalised and is in rapid decline. Drill holes have been identified at the base of the tree, which can indicate an application of poison. The tree is showing signs of rapid decline. The question then is, has this vandalism been brought to the attention of councillors, and what information about the tree and the event can be shared publicly? For example, approximately how old is this tree? Does the city know roughly when the vandalism is thought to have occurred? How was the vandalism brought to the attention of the city, and is there a preliminary prognosis on the viability of the tree? and its asset ID number is 1014494. And the response, which has been prepared by David Callow, who is the Director of Parks and City Greening here at the City of Melbourne, goes like this. The rapid decline of the mature London plane tree was identified by routine inspections in January 2021, and the tree is currently being monitored for any signs of recovery growth. Multiple drill holes were identified in the trunk, and the tree's rapid decline is a common response to poisoning. The type of poison or substance supplied is unknown, and whether the tree will recover from this vandalism is also unknown. Should the tree condition deteriorate to the point that tree removal is required, then councillors will be notified and further public signage will be installed so that everyone is kept informed. Council officers have not received any public responses to the request for information relating to the vandalism. That is, we've asked for information for any members of the public to come forward if they've seen anything, and unfortunately we haven't had any responses to that so far. But thank you very much to Carl for your question and your care for our trees, something we share in common across our councillor group and our council. I'm now reading out a written question we've received from Matthew Clock. Matthew says, does the City of Melbourne have any intent of explaining what changes from the 100 they have said they have completed to the transport plan following the review? As pointed out in an email recently, there are still no major issues around the council area that have not been addressed and continue to be ignored when pointed out. Even though the City of Melbourne clearly said the bike program was paused, work still took place on Whiteman Street. Had the City of Melbourne still got its own agenda in place to try and push people to riding to and from the city, then support the full fact that people aren't going to change just because the City of Melbourne want us to. Public comment in media supports this. Will you continue to ignore people who point out the issues? And Matthew, I know we've had lots of correspondence with you, and you know that the City of Melbourne's Transport Strategy 2030 includes a range of initiatives to encourage people on all modes of transport to be able to access the city safely and efficiently, and that is absolutely key to our economic revitalisation, which prompted the transport review. Part of the transport strategy recognises the importance of bicycles and that mode of transport to the city. And it's important that we continue to deliver on that transport strategy, particularly since the Deloitte Independent Transport Review confirmed that our transport strategy and the initiatives to be delivered are all valid, relevant, and should continue. I note that in 2019, as the transport strategy was finalised, it was based on evidence and data. It's a fine piece of work, an award-winning piece, an award-winning strategy. And at that time, 12,000 people per day were cycling to and from inner Melbourne, and it justified the investment in bicycle lanes to provide safe and appropriate spaces for people on bicycles to access the city. Since then, during the COVID period particularly, there's been a proliferation of sales of bicycles. The Deloitte report notes increases of sales of 200%. Most of our daily bicycle commuter traffic is people that work in the city. As we get to that 90% threshold and see more people returning to the workplace, we're expecting to see more of our 12,000 cyclists plus those who have purchased bicycles during this time returning to our streets, and we hope they make good use of our bicycle lanes. If we can repeat here at the City of Melbourne, our transport strategy and the Independent Transport Review confirmed that we need to make sure that there are safe and efficient transport access for all modes of transport, including bicycles. We want to welcome everybody back to the city, recognising that every single person comes to the city, no matter what transport mode adds value to our economy and our community. Matthew, thank you for your question. We are moving on to item six, which is reports from management. And at this point, I'm calling on the Deputy Lord Mayor, Nicholas Rees, to assume the role of chair of the meeting in relation to the city planning portfolio. Over to you, DLM. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. It's an absolute pleasure to be sitting alongside you and with other councillors as we resume in-person meetings here at the City of Melbourne Town Hall. There are three reports from management for consideration under the planning portfolio this evening. The first of those is agenda item 6.1, planning permit application TP-2021-603, Queen Victoria Market Food Hall at 68 to 81 Victoria Street, Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation in regards to this item? In that case, I will now call, I take that as a no, so I will now call on Mia Zahr from Tract Consultants, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. And Mia, I request that you speak for no more than 3 minutes, please.
Going to keep it very snappy. Thank you. So thank you, Councillor Rees. Thank you, Lord Mayor and councillors, for the opportunity to address the committee this evening. I'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people, the traditional owners of the land on which we're meeting tonight, and also of the Queen Victoria Market. I'm speaking on behalf of the team at Tract, who are the town planners for the project. Tract were engaged by the City of Melbourne to prepare and lodge a town planning application for the demolition of the existing Queen Victoria Market food hall. So the demolition of the existing food hall will facilitate the construction of a new food hall, which is a core component of the QVM master plan and was strongly supported by the People's Panel. While the construction of the food hall itself is actually exempt from planning permission, it has been subject to a full Heritage Victoria application process, with Heritage Victoria granting a permit in September of this year. The overall maximum building height sits at 8.55 metres, so it's well below the ridge lines of the adjacent Victoria Street terraces and the meat hall. And Heritage Victoria's approval of the development confirms that it is consistent with the heritage character of the market, which I understand is really the core consideration for new buildings within the market precinct. The new development's been designed to integrate with the public realm works that were approved under the recent Northern Shed application, and will result in improved interface to Queen Street, which will contribute to the use, activity, safety and interest of the public realm. You probably know it's obviously suffered in recent times, but on a pre-COVID weekday, the food hall saw about 2,000 people per day. So really looking forward to getting that activity back there. Thank you again for your consideration.
Thank you very much for that, Mia. Any questions for Mia? No, thank you for addressing us this evening. I am now happy to move a motion which will hopefully be appearing on the screen. That is indeed the one. I'm looking for a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I'll speak now to this matter. So, look, the purpose of the report and motion before us this evening is for a planning permit application for approval for demolition of the food hall at Queen Victoria Market. Planning permit is required for demolition only, not for construction works which will follow, because those matters are exempt from requiring a planning permit due to heritage approval by Heritage Victoria and the local government projects provisions at clause 52.31 of the Melbourne Planning Scheme. The site is listed as significant within the Heritage Places inventory, but Heritage Victoria have issued a permit for the redevelopment works. The proposed demolition is supported as it is associated with the redevelopment of the site, with prior approval for the redevelopment granted by Heritage Victoria. The demolition works in question, as we've heard from Mia, involve the demolition of the existing fabric roof and Queen Street facade. These construction works was done in the 1990s, the mid-1990s, And while they have served their purpose at Queen Victoria Market, I don't know that they will have ever been noted for any architectural significance or anything of that nature. Whereas the BSPN Architects works, which are proposed, which will follow these demolition works, I think are absolutely exemplary. Not that any of that is relevant to the matter that is now before us. So just to emphasise again that the application before us this evening relates only to demolition, as the construction works do not require a planning work, a permit, and I have no hesitation in commending this motion to councillors. Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I agree, of course. I'm looking at the heritage permit that was issued by the Executive Director on the 28th of September, and that's essentially where the merits review of the new building was done. There's a strong basis for that permit there, subject to conditions, and all we're considering today, as you've said, is a permit under the Capital City Zone for demolition. Had we been considering a permit under the Capital City Zone for building and works and a permit under the Design and Development Overlay, I think it's very clear that a permit should have been issued anyway. It's a little bit silly, I think, that the local government particular provision that you've just referred to exempts the need for a planning permit under the Capital City Zone and Design and Development Overlay. It was meant to cut red tape and fast track development, but here we are considering a planning permit anyway, and so it is once again a poorly thought through particular provision that's been added to the Victoria planning provisions this year, and regrettably it is confusing our constituents no end, because the report before us today looks like we're approving a new building at the food court. We're not. All we're doing is considering a $74,000 I think dollar proposal to demolish the building, and confusing our constituents at the same time. Obviously a permit should issue, but I regret the state of the Victorian planning system in the year 2021. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett. Are there any other speakers for or against this motion? In that case, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand, and I'm declaring that carried unanimously. The next agenda item before us is Agenda Item 6.2, Planning Permit Application TP-2021-318 for the property 299 Bourke Street and 278 to 286 Little Collins Street, Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation in regards to this item? Take that as a no. And so we'll now move to those people who requested to submit to us this evening. The first of those is Chris Langford from Newmark Capital. Welcome to Town Hall virtually, Chris. I request that you speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Lord Mayor, fellow councillors. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Chris Langford. I'm Joint Managing Director of Newmark Capital, and I'll speak on behalf of Newmark, as will, I believe, Vaughan Connor shortly. Lord Mayor did mention Simon Morris would be addressing the committee, but I'm speaking on his behalf. So I'm pleased to have the opportunity to address the committee tonight in relation to the property at 299 Bourke Street, which is probably better known as the David Jones Menswear Building in Bourke Street Mall. We're incredibly proud to have the opportunity to acquire this building last year and to refurbish this landmark property. David Jones committed to a short-term leaseback when we acquired the property, and they will be vacating in mid to latter part of next year. And our intention is to be shovel-ready to begin our refurbishment and restoration of this building to its rightful state as soon as practicable. And we have a number of leasing deals well advanced, and retailers and office tenants lining up to occupy the building from early 2023. The repositioned building will have considered a rooftop extension and will reposition the retail for 2021 and beyond to make it a real landmark on Bourke Street Mall. We've been very careful to maintain and retain as much of the building as possible with limited structural intervention, preserving the integrity of the structure and the building facade, whilst activating the upper levels for office occupation. And I must say, the feedback we've had from office occupiers, even during COVID, even through COVID and all the headwinds that businesses have faced of getting people back into the city, has been such a confidence-filling response that we're thrilled. All in all, we've leased close to 4,000 metres of retail space, and we have having just launched the office leasing campaign, have already got very strong interest and over 3,000 metres of office space. And as I said, tenants have been drawn to this building because it is unique. It is unique in the city. And to have garnered such response is in contrast to the typical city office towers is, I think, a testament of the efforts that businesses and property owners are going to get people back into the city. And we're pleased to have had the opportunity to work with council thus far, and very keen to continue to work with council to get people back into the city and get Melbourne up and running again. And I'd like to thank council for the opportunity to present tonight, and look forward to continuing to work and getting Melbourne back and up and running again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. Any questions for Chris? Well, thank you very much for addressing this committee this evening. I now call on Simon Morris from Newmark Capital to speak for no more than...
Chris was doing on behalf of Carmen.
Oh, apologies, I missed that. Okay, thank you, Chris, and please pass our thanks on to your colleague, Simon. I now call on Vaughan Connor from Contour to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Welcome back to Town Hall, Vaughan.
Thank you, and thank you, Chris. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Lord Mayor and fellow councillors. My name's Vaughan Connor and I'm a director at Contour, and we've been retained by Newmark to work with Batesmart Architects and the balance of a large consultant team in putting this application together. Firstly, I'd like to thank council officers for their report and recommendation. Secondly, and since the report was published, thank council more broadly for the ongoing dialogue regarding tidying up of some of the permit conditions. And thirdly, in relation to the planning merits of the proposal, this is a site, and it's an important site within the retail core of Melbourne CBD, and the investment and ultimate reinvigoration of the building for a combination of new retailers and office uses is entirely consistent with policy in the applicable capital city zone. In terms of the buildings and works, the proposal responds positively to the planning scheme provisions, and all new works have been designed sensitively, having regard to the inherent heritage significance. And the additional floor area is modest, visually recessive, and will not compete with the host building. At ground level, there is a need to strike a balance between public realm aspirations, heritage considerations, constraints associated with the existing building, and also commercial leasing considerations. And insofar as the Union Lane environment, the amended Condition 1B provides the necessary flexibility in concert with the walk development opposite to the west, there is a real public realm opportunity to be realised. In summary, this proposal and the investment being made by Newmark is a real vote of confidence in Melbourne's retail sector, and supporting the officer's recommendation should be a straightforward decision. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that, Vaughan. I've got two questions, if that's okay. And I'll obviously call on other councillors to see if they have any either. The first recommendation, one of the recommendations from officers goes to the ground level shopfront facades to Bourke Street and Little Collins Street. And there is a suggestion that there be some further work done to better resolve the integration of the ground level shopfront facades with the upper level heritage facades. I just wanted to get your views about that particular recommendation and confirm that that's something that your client is positively predisposed towards.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there is a real need for us to try and align this approval with the ultimate Heritage Victoria approval, and the way the conditions are drafted allows that to occur. We've been in an ongoing dialogue with Heritage Victoria for some time, and the most recent submission made to them and copied to council regarding the shop fronts was well received, and we're expecting that the amendments made to the plans by Bates Smart will be, well, as I said, they've been well received by Heritage Victoria, and we're confident that that version of plans will be supported and there'll be no need to, you know, amend the planning permit. What needs to be remembered about those shop fronts is none of those shop fronts are original. They're all, you know, the shop fronts are intervention works, and it's a need to strike a balance between integrating with the balance of the facade, but also something contemporary which is well suited to a modern retail environment. We think we've struck that balance, you know, in the latest set of plans, and we're confident that based on the feedback we've had that Heritage Victoria will support those. Thank you.
Thank you, Vaughan. And then look, the second question just goes to the recommendation around an additional pedestrian entry located off Union Lane at the midpoint between Little Collins Street and Bourke Street. And I understand there's been discussions between yourself and City of Melbourne officers, and we'll shortly be putting up an amended motion which that still has that condition but also commits the city to discussions with you around a laneway activation strategy. Before that amended motion gets put forward, I just want to confirm that you and your client are comfortable with that.
Yeah, look, and again, as I said in my opening submission, Mr. Chairman, there is a real need to strike a balance between some, you know, I suppose somewhat competing provisions. We've clearly got public realm aspirations. There's clearly heritage considerations. And there's also commercial leasing considerations. But one of the main constraints which we have in terms of the delivery of a pedestrian entry centrally along that Union Lane elevation is that there is a level change between the level of the laneway and the floor levels in the building. Secondly, there's an escalator in that, you know, which travels between floors in that location. Thirdly, there are structural columns which, you know, relate back to the heritage significance of the building as well. So realising an opening in that particular spot is impractical, but what we've spoken to the officers about, and I think which is captured in this condition, is to look at not necessarily a pedestrian entry into a, you know, a retail shop front, but what are the other strategies or layers of design which can create activation, you know, through signage, through lighting, through display windows, and the like. The condition provides the flexibility. I'm confident that between Bates Smart, council officers and myself, we can get that right, and we can also bring Heritage Victoria along for the journey as well.
All right, thank you very much for that, Vaughan. Any further questions? Councillor Ball.
Thank you. You mentioned the heritage columns on the west side. Are you able to comment any further on, I understand there are no internal interior controls, but what elements of the original Art Deco interiors maybe we can expect maybe retained or lost for that matter?
Well, whilst there's no internal controls in the planning scheme relevant to this building, there are internal controls within the, you know, pursuant to the Heritage Act. So, you know, the assessment which is being done by Heritage Victoria includes, you know, changes to the interiors of the building. I'm not a structural engineer when it comes to the existing column locations, but the advice that we've received is, you know, as I've just explained, and in addition to the levels, the change in levels, the escalator and so forth, it is a challenging proposition to create an entry there and create an entry along that edge full stop. Right. So again, it's a balancing exercise. Can we get it right? Will we get it right? Yes. But the heritage interiors is something which is within the remit of Heritage Victoria, and that's work, you know, that's being worked through as part of their process.
Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean the new proposed entry at that opening at that point, but more generally, are you able to comment on other heritage features of the interior
Yes, there's you know, in terms of some of those Art Deco features, there's the stairwell towards the little Collins Street frontage, which is being retained, and there's the railing and the tiling and so forth. There's also some of the, I think they refer to as Aztec tiling around some of the columns within the building, which none will be removed in terms of how the shops and displays of work. They may be covered up, but not damaged. There's a whole range of decorative ceiling, you know, elements which are to be retained. So there's a like I said, there's a you know, a lot of features internally within the building which Bates Smart, the architects, are cognizant of, and there has been like I said, there's a process happening with Heritage Victoria on in relation to those things.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vaughan. Thank you, Councillor Ball. Councillor Leilu.
Thank you, Vaughan. Just interested in the canopy. I note in the report and seeing how it looks, just wondering, would that be kind of full covered, or would there be kind of spaces in between where you can actually, if you're stepping at the bottom, being able to see up, or will it be kind of, sorry, is it, would it be see-through, or would it be just be full blank?
Well, we think this is one of the features of the new canopy. Firstly, the current canopy which is there is not original. Secondly, it's solid, whereas what's proposed is glazed elements within the canopy. So, so from standing under the canopy and looking up, the, you know, the beautiful facade of the building will be exposed to pedestrians walking beneath. So we think that's a real positive of the work which has been done in relation to the shop fronts and canopy by Bates Smart.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leilu. Any further questions for Vaughan? All right, well, thank you very much for addressing us this evening on this matter, Vaughan. Given there are no further submitters, I would now call on a amended motion to please be put up on the screen. Just scrolling through to make sure that that is the correct one. Yep, just keep scrolling down. Yep, that's it. Okay, thank you very much. So I'm moving the motion that has appeared on the screen. I'm looking for a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppert. I'll now speak to this item. So this is a planning permit application for the partial demolition and building and works to the existing building, which is known as David Jones Menswear Store in Bourke Street. It also is an application for reduction in the statutory bicycle parking requirements. This is an application where the City of Melbourne is the relevant planning authority. This is obviously an application which deserves very careful consideration by the city and by councillors, because there is, it's hard to think of a more iconic retail location in Melbourne than the Bourke Street Mall. In fact, when people say busier than Bourke Street, it's probably this location that they have in mind. While we know this building as the David Jones Building, it's actually a building which has quite a famous history as part of the Melbourne retail scene. It was, in fact, the Coles flagship store in the 1920s. Coles supermarkets got their beginning on Smith Street in 1914, but this was one of their early stores and was, in fact, their flagship store there in the Bourke Street, of course. The building was also designed by the very famous Melbourne architect Harry Norris, and you can imagine that back in the 1920s, the Art Deco features, which include things like the glazed pinkish red coloured tiles on the front, would have made a real splash in Melbourne. And so not only is this a really important location, this is a really important building in our town. And so it's therefore very pleasing, indeed exciting, to see this really positive proposal which has been put forward by Newmark Capital. And the plans for three levels of retail office space and active frontages on both Bourke Street Mall and Little Collins Street are very much welcome. It's also very welcome to see that Bates Smart have done an excellent job with the design of the redevelopment of this site, and this certainly does meet with the design excellence standards that we now require on all applications in the City of Melbourne. There are probably two permit conditions which I will just quickly focus on, both of which I have flagged with Vaughan Connor this evening in the presentation. The first of those just goes to the changes to the ground level shopfront facades to Bourke Street and Little Collins Street. And I think it's all agreed that there is some further work that is needed to better integrate those shop fronts with the upper level heritage facades. As I flagged, there really are quite remarkable facades. I've spoken about Bourke Street, but Little Collins Street, I think, is a significant historic facade as well. And so we're really requesting, challenging in a positive way, Bates Smart and the team at Newmark to think about how they can integrate those upper levels with the ground level shop fronts. The second condition, which I will again just comment on briefly, is the permit condition around the additional pedestrian entry located off Union Lane. We have heard from the applicant that there are some concerns around that particular entry point. The amended application still contains that condition, but does commit the city to working with the applicant on other laneway activation options. What we all agree on is that we want to see better activation of city laneways. This Union Lane is a particularly important laneway. It links Bourke Street Mall with Little Collins Street. We've got the Walk Arcade proceeding to the west of the David Jones store. As part of the redevelopment of the Walk Arcade, we're going to have a new laneway entrance onto Union Lane. And so by making the David Jones building more permeable to Union Lane, we can really ensure that this laneway becomes a vibrant hive of activity, which I think with the right built form and the right activation along the lines that Vaughan spoke of as well, could become one of the most buzzing, most vibrant laneways in the entire HODL grid. So there's a commitment of goodwill there from the City of Melbourne to work with the applicant to see if we can satisfactorily resolve that, noting that the permit condition remains around the additional pedestrian entry, but as I said, with the commitment to working around the principle of laneway activation. So I have, with those points, I commend the motion to councillors. Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I agree, and it's a really interesting policy issue, the proposed new entrance onto Union Lane. On the one hand, we'd like to retain heritage fabric, and on the other, we would like to improve pedestrian permeability in the central city and activation of laneways, including Union Lane. So there is competing guidance in the planning scheme on that one. So I think the words that have been put forward here, Deputy Lord Mayor, are good because it allows for this question to continue to be resolved after issuing a permit. But we're making very, very clear that given the high quality design that we're looking at here and the need to redevelop this building in line with what the proposal sets out, a permit definitely should issue. And I commend the applicant for what is a very high quality application. And I commend your amended motion, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Are there any other councillors who wish to speak for or against this motion? Councillor Leilu.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. And first and foremost, just want to thank the applicants, the owners, and the architects for such a beautiful plan. I think to the Deputy Lord Mayor's point, I think for me, you know, Bourke Street is probably the heart of the retail, but also at the same time, it is where I'm sure the buskers will be singing with joy when they actually see the great work that is done down there. But also it's the fact that we have our own city information centre, which is right next to it as well. And, you know, that's a place where a lot of people visit, and to actually upgrade that area would be great. I think for me, as I was asking Vaughan the question, for me, the biggest thing is probably the canopy, because one of the things that I've always found really disheartening is you never get to really see the beautiful pinkish glaze when you're standing underneath the building, and you have to actually walk to the other side before you actually realise it's there. And I think it's always so disappointing that the canopy was just, it's blocking the view of it. And the fact that the applicant, the owners and the architects are now actually, you know, changing that process where, you know, you can actually stand underneath it and look up and see it, I think that is a big improvement, because we want to promote the heritage of Melbourne. We want to promote the history of Melbourne. And I think, you know, rather than just getting people inside into the shops and to the buildings, you know, imagine, you know, getting some people to stand in front of the shop and look up and actually stop in the middle of the street and go, wow, I never noticed that something there. So for me, I just really want to thank again for the thought on the canopy, which is pretty weird. The building and everything is absolutely stunning and everything. But for me, it's those little things, especially the canopy, because, you know, just walking for it on the weekend, I had to walk to the other side to look at it. And, you know, the fact that it's been glazed and making it beautiful, I think really Melburnians will really appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leilu. Any other speakers for or against this item? In that case, I'll put them... Oh, sorry, Lord Mayor.
Sorry, thought I'd indicated appropriately.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I absolutely want to speak to this motion. Thanks to everyone who's already spoken. I want to speak because this is a significant site, of course, as noted by Chris and Vaughan. It's a premium precinct for shopping particularly, and has a wonderful... introduction to commerce right across the city. It's a significant building with its heritage and its history, and a building deserving of respect. And it took a long time for people to stop calling it the Coles Building. I'm sure it'll take a long time before people stop calling it the David Jones Building, and that's a reflection of the deep history and an admiration for the heritage of the building. And I appreciate the respect that's being shown through these plans for that heritage and that history. It's a significant investment, and at this time, wows, we've come out of being the city with the most days in lockdown, of the municipality that's had the toughest trading conditions of any across Australia. Significant investments of these types have multiple benefits, but I particularly wanted to say that it shows confidence in the future of our city, and something that has an impact for this building and this precinct, but really has positive ripples right across Melbourne and Victoria due to the significance of the investment. So thank you very much. We do acknowledge the initiative, the creativity and the vision that's been put forward by the applicants. And I also acknowledge the work of our team looking at all of the detail, coming back to us with suggestions, and then the work that's been done to find good compromises to make sure that this significant investment can move forward whilst delivering fantastic benefits for Melbourne. I just wanted to say I think this project is really symbolic of the significance of the future that people can expect here in the city of Melbourne, which is a city of possibility, and there's so much about this project that will be symbolic in adding, not just symbolic, but actually delivering value and vibrancy to our economy and community. I commend this project and I'll be supporting it this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. Any other speakers for or against this motion? In that case, I put the motion to vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare that carried unanimously. The next agenda item before us is 6.3, Macaulay Structure Plan 2021. This is indeed a very important matter before us this evening, so I'm going to suggest that we receive a presentation on it, and I call on Sophie Handley, Director City Strategy, to make a brief presentation. And wonderful that you're here in person, Sophie.
Thank you very much, Deputy Lord Mayor, and good evening, councillors. The Macaulay Structure Plan... next slide, please. The Macaulay redevelopment area is north of the city proper. It's about 90 hectares of land and is located either side of the Moonee Ponds Creek, partially in North Melbourne and partially in Kensington. It adjoins the Arden Renewal Precinct, as is shown on the plan. Next slide, please. The vision for Macaulay is to transition to a mixed-use mid-rise neighbourhood with a distinct urban, inner urban character. The Victorian Government population forecast for Macaulay Urban Renewal Area by 2051 is 10,000 residents and 9,500 jobs to be created in this location. Next slide, please. This project has quite a long history, as many of you will have known and been on the journey. It started with the the preparation and then the adoption of the Arden-Macaulay Structure Plan in 2012. But more recently, the two areas have been undergoing separate planning processes. More recently, there's been discussion papers, the community engagement and a draft structure plan refresh, and all of those processes have informed the final plan, which will lead to a planning scheme amendment that we'll undertake next year. Next slide, please. Consultation on the draft plan generated support for much of the content and raised issues which we've sought to resolve. These included matters relating to density, infrastructure, amenity, local character and transport, just to name a few. All of the work and input from community, specialists, our agency colleagues has resulted in a contemporary strategic planning document. Next slide, please. Which has the following key features. It celebrates the Macaulay area and its four distinct precincts, being Boundary, Melrose, Stubbs and Chelmsford. It provides a vision for a climate-ready mid-rise neighbourhood, provides a mix of uses to accommodate population forecasts, prioritises walking, cycling and public transport, seeks to revitalise the Moonee Ponds Creek and reconnect the creek corridor to its Aboriginal heritage, will deliver new and enhanced open space to meet the needs of the future residents and workers, provides good access to community infrastructure and deliver on our affordable and diverse housing strategies, and will provide a new local activity centres to generate a lively and engaging neighbourhood. Next slide, please. Over the course of the consultation process, there were a number of matters raised, as I mentioned, and I'll just mention a couple of the key changes following the exhibition, the exhibited version of the draft structure plan. The floor area ratios, which are mandatory, have been reduced on properties in more sensitive areas. The street wall heights have been identified across all the precincts, with mandatory street wall heights proposed in particularly sensitive areas. Modified building heights also to address sensitive areas. There's been a stronger alignment created between the structure plan and council's affordable housing strategy. We've strengthened the detail of community infrastructure to be provided, identified the recently acquired open space at Chelmsford Street, and provided more detail regarding infrastructure for Macaulay, including potential delivery mechanisms. Next slide, please. This slide just shows some of the changes that I mentioned, particularly in relation to the floor area ratios, which is shown on the left-hand side. The draft structure plan incorporated just two different floor area ratios, being 0.4 and to 1 and 0.3 to 1, and these changes have recognised the sensitive nature of some of those areas and reduced the floor area ratios. However, the overall yield and the targets for the work and dwellings will be still achieved because we've undertaken some built form assessments. The area on the right shows the some changes, minor changes to the height provisions in those areas which are outlined in the red. The areas on the left-hand side of, or the western side of Mooney Ponds Creek have been reduced, and the area on the right-hand side has been increased marginally, but provides that accounts for an increased setback from the creek to provide for additional open space. I will now just mention a couple of comments in relation to the submissions that have been received recently. Many of those submissions related to Shield Street, and we do certainly recognise that the that is a sensitive interface, and the built form controls have raised some concerns. But I would also note that the planning controls in the structure, well, the planning controls are yet to be finally formed through the planning scheme amendment process. So there isn't a clear comparison between the existing DDO provisions and the structure plan intentions. Also, in relation to a couple of the other issues that have been raised, as I mentioned, the floor area ratios are mandatory. There has been quite substantial traffic studies and investigations which have indicated that the network will be adequate, though we will, of course, continue to advocate for improved public transport and the other objectives in the transport strategy, particularly in relation to through traffic. There is some increased clarity in relation to laneway widths. I mentioned also the built form testing that we've undertaken to ensure that the stated vision can be achieved through the planning controls. The area in Robertson Street was the subject of one of the built form studies, and we're confident that the six-storey built form can be delivered whilst also providing adequate building separation, good internal amenity and new streets and laneways, as well as open space. And we recognise that there has been a lot of work to read, a lot of documentation to read in this short period of time, but we did provide early release as early as we possibly could to ensure that the community had an opportunity to read the detailed documents. And the last comment is in relation to the flooding, and that is based on best practice flood modelling that has been undertaken with Melbourne Water. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Sophie. Any questions for Sophie? Rob, thank you very much for addressing us on this important matter. All right. We have one submitter, Simon Harvey, and I now call on Simon Harvey, the chairperson of the Kensington Association, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. Welcome to Town Hall virtually, Simon. Please speak for no more than 3 minutes. Can you hear us, Simon?
I can. Can you hear me?
We can see and hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and councillors, for this opportunity to emphasise some of the issues we've raised in the Kensington Association submission. This is, of course, important to us, and there is a lot in the plan that we are very happy to see. I'd like to broach three issues that we've talked about in our submission. Firstly, Macaulay Station. We covered this in our 2020 submission, but we don't see that much has changed in relation to dealing with Macaulay Station. In this iteration, we under Objective 11, we read high quality, frequent and reliable public transport will service Macaulay. Yes, we certainly hope so, but there is a problem because we understand the frequency of trains along the upfield line cannot be increased without a significant upgrade of the line itself. So this is a problem. How it will be resolved is not my bag, but it needs certainly to be resolved because it has ramifications right across the precinct. Now, we know that the Macaulay Station will become a vital hub. It'll be a central hub, but very little attention seems to have been paid to that in the structural plan as we read it, as to the way it will be developed to cope with the growth in population and activity. And we think this is an oversight and we wish it to be addressed. This leads us to a second area of concern, which is population and what we think of as the Macaulay Road dilemma. This points to the very unique constrained qualities of Macaulay Road between the two railway lines. And it feeds into population issues and what's been mentioned before through traffic issues along the road, which are of great concern to us all in the area. We ask that the committee look very carefully at the steps that we have suggested in our submission to address the dilemma. In relation to population, one of the members calculated 2,300 plus apartments in the current pipeline of approval and new planning applications. Now, on this trend, there is no way under the current policy settings, according to us, that this is 10,000 population increase forecast increase will not be exceeded. Finally, public open space. We all know how vital public open space is to our community well-being. And we appreciate the increase in public open space in Chelmsford, which is great, and we're very grateful to that. But the Moonee Ponds Creek saga, that's a kind of another story. It's kind of like a joke to us in a sense. It's been going on for so long. But it's not a joke because we have been pressing repeatedly for the creek to be revitalised. Because after all, it has been touted as an optimum open space for the community. So if that is so, we ask you to please sort out the governance, of course finances, but the governance and management issues of the creek and make the revitalisation happen. It is, of course, critical importance to both the Macaulay Structural Plan and to the Arden Structural Plan.
All right.
So thank you, Mr. Chair, and for the opportunity to emphasise these points from our submission.
Thank you, Simon. You went a little bit over time, but they're points very well made. I might invite Sophie Handley or Sarah to perhaps respond to them if possible. So Macaulay Station, the Macaulay Road dilemma, as it was described, The 2,000 plus apartments, how confident are we in the population, the residential population forecast? And then just finally around Moonee Ponds Creek and any issues around governance and delivering on our open space commitments there.
Thank you. In relation to Macaulay Station, we are and continue to work very closely with our colleagues at the Department of Transport on this and many other projects. We are doing our best to advocate for the improvements overall to access to public transport. And we've been working with them in relation to Arden as well, and the demand across the public transport network as best we can. In relation to the overall density, our control that's seeking to manage the total yield is the floor area ratio control. And as I mentioned earlier on, we sought to reduce that between the exhibited plan and the final plan, because we believe that the targets can be met with those reduced yields. We obviously continue to look at the provisions to ensure that they will achieve the goals, and we will refine those as we move through the planning scheme amendment process. In relation to Moonee Ponds Creek, we again are advocating and continue to, we have been and we continue to advocate to the state government to make improvements to the stormwater management and our ability to improve the environs along the creek and provide for increased open space there. And you'll see some of the actions in relation in the structure plan seek to continue to advocate for improvements at Moonee Ponds Creek.
All right, I think that covers it. Thank you very much, Sophie. All right, there are no other submitters, so I will now look to move a motion, if that could please be put on the screen. And I just want to ensure that this is the, yep, reference to the table document. And I'm looking, so I'm going to move that amended motion. I'm looking for a councillor to second it. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I'll now speak to this. So, this is a very exciting moment in the history of the City of Melbourne as we are here to support the final Macaulay structure plan. I want to begin by thanking Sophie and Evan and Sarah and all the officers and indeed councillors, and in particular my Planning Deputy Councillor Rohan Leppett, for the, I was about to say hundreds, but possibly thousands of hours that have been put in to the production of the final structure plan. It is indeed over 100 pages of very well-considered planning policy. It's gone through numerous iterations. Internally, it's gone through countless iterations, but I do think it now represents urban planning policy at the absolute highest and best standards here in Australia, indeed anywhere around the world. The plan outlines the City of Melbourne's vision for the 90-hectare precinct, which Sophie showed us pictures of, which will become home to more than 10,000 residents and 9,500 workers by 2051. The plan does identify the key priorities for the city in the structure plan, which begins with celebrating the unique existing and future character of Macaulay. There's an emphasis on high-quality, well-designed developments. This is a precinct that will have mixed uses in terms of activities and will deliver new local activity centres. There'll be improved public transport, cycling and walking connections. There'll be greener streets and a climate-ready neighbourhood. There'll be a very significant enhancement of Moonee Ponds Creek, or at least this structure plan will help deliver the people to that enhanced Moonee Ponds Creek. There are new open spaces and there'll be increased affordable and diverse housing, and there will be very significant new community infrastructure. This is indeed a very important document for the future of the City of Melbourne and, in fact, the entire northern suburbs of Greater Metropolitan Melbourne. It will deliver a new precinct which is full of shops, active streets, services and jobs in a very walkable and green neighbourhood. I touched on this before, but we have really looked far and wide in terms of drawing ideas for the Macaulay structure plan, and we've looked at examples from Barcelona, Paris and Manchester. But I do want to say this will be a uniquely Melbourne offering. In fact, Macaulay will be the best medium density mixed use suburb in Melbourne, is my prediction, and it will be a showcase for gentle density, done in a inner city Melbourne way, where there is low impact and very much focused on the suburb and the street at the eye level. Melbourne has seen many new areas developed in recent times where there's been a focus on podium and towers and skyscrapers. This is not what the vision is for Macaulay. This is a suburb that will have medium density, mixed use, and as I said, will be a showcase of gentle density in inner Melbourne done in a inner Melbourne way. So I have, I'm greatly honoured to be able to call on councillors to support the motion that's before us this evening. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I agree, this is a structure plan that we should be supporting. I won't repeat what you have said, but I think you've set out the purposes of the structure plan well. As is my nature, I'll now go into a little bit more detail. But before I do, I'd like to also thank our team who has worked very hard on bringing this to us. To Sarah Lowcock and to Millie Adamson and to Mara Lowen, and previously is not here anymore, but David Morrison with the built form modelling, and to everyone in Sophie and your team, thank you for thousands of hours of work. I think we're now calling it excellent. February 2022 will mark 10 years since the Arden Macaulay structure plan was adopted upstairs in the Yarra room. I wasn't a councillor, but I am a giant nerd, so I was present at the meeting. Submitters to that meeting included Peter Hogg and Kay Oddie and the chair of the Kensington Association and many, many more. Most people were concerned that the council was embarking on new planning controls for Shield Street and Haines Street that weren't reasonable and weren't well drafted. I recall Councillor Cannis and Councillor Oak fighting the good fight and didn't quite get over the line then, but in the intervening 10-year period, what we know has happened is that the built form modelling that underpinned the Arden Macaulay structure plan and Amendment C190 wasn't accurate. We were actually seeing development that far exceeded what we were modelling in terms of future jobs, future residents, dwelling sizes and the sheer number of dwellings. And sure enough, Haines Street has become what we know as the outcomes of poorly drafted planning controls. It's why Gardiner Reserve became the focus for our Sunlight to Parks rules. And it is why we need to make sure that now that we're doing a structure plan refresh 10 years later, that we are making sure those policy directions are clear. With the floor area ratio controls, we will be setting the yield and making sure that our policy is underpinned by where we understand the population to be going. This is a drastic improvement on the C190 planning controls, especially that dreaded design and development overlay number 63. So I'm delighted that we are moving on from that history, that we're learning from the experience of the last 10 years, and that we're now looking, as the Deputy Lord Mayor said, to a leading example of urban design and planning policy. The motion refers to a series of amendments, and these are based on submissions that have been made, as well as what I understand to the best of my ability to be community concerns. Whilst it doesn't change the yield, I think for all the reasons that I've set out in that history and that meeting upstairs in the Yarra room 10 years ago, we need to be very clear about what we're proposing. There are 14 sets of amendments, and don't worry, I am not going to read them. The Group A amendments look after built form, and we're clarifying how height is measured and where ground is measured from. We're adding a new design recommendation that the committee requested at its July 2020 meeting. We're clarifying the open space mapping to remove any ambiguity. We're making sure that the building heights in the text match the maps. We are clarifying the street wall controls. There were a few errors that just need to be corrected to make sure that street wall heights are never more than the overall building height. And so where that was the case, we're removing the street wall controls on the map and in the text. Importantly, Shield Street, we're providing clarity on how the massing strategy should occur. We're reinstating that DDO 63 guidance about a three-storey street wall and visually recessive built form above the street wall that will push massing towards Macaulay Road whilst keeping the yield intact at a floor area ratio of 4:1. We're providing clarity for setbacks at laneways. This has been mentioned by Sophie already in the presentation, but where laneways are to be widened, we need to make sure that that's made very clear when we do consider the planning controls early next year. We're providing clarity for retail uses on Macaulay Road to make sure that the distribution of new retail uses is on an equitable basis over multiple sites. Clarifying the future Macaulay transport network mapping and text to make it clear that all council plans and policies are reflected in that map. Closest to my heart, very important, making sure that there's a plan and not just an aspiration to advocate for improvements to the Moonee Ponds Creek corridor, especially those new crossings. And finally, a series of editorial amendments and a new action that creates a process to publicly report on the progress of the structure plan and its actions and to track against the forecast or targeted population for jobs, residents and dwellings. Try to keep that as quickly as I can. That's the nature of the amendments. They will be appended to the minutes if this motion passes, and I ask my colleagues to support those amendments. I particularly thank officers for their patience and cooperation in the last few days as I have generated no end of extra work for them. I'll just close by saying that Macaulay is a really, really special place straddling the Moonee Ponds Creek between North Melbourne and Kensington. We really, really need, and this plan is another kick for us, to unlock the governance quagmire and finance for upgrading the creek. 10,000 new residents need somewhere to recreate, somewhere to breathe, and the Moonee Ponds Creek remains the centrepiece of what's going to make this entire structure plan area work. The Treasurer and the Planning Minister are on the record in Parliament saying that they will entertain handing over Committee of Management status from VicTrack to the City of Melbourne so that we can unlock that creek. This will take considerable investment from the city to ensure that open space is commensurate with current and future population trends. And if we don't do that, we will not be ending up with the vision that Deputy Lord Mayor and I have set out. And so the closing message from us, as always, is to make sure that we are looking after the biodiversity and the open space public values of the Moonee Ponds Creek, a much loved place which government has not loved anywhere near enough. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard, and thank you for all your work in what's before us this evening. Are there any other speakers for or against the motion before us? Councillor Griffiths.
thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor, and thank you to the mover and seconder. I too would like to thank the officers who've been integral in doing the work on this report. And very much note, as the two other speakers have, the work of councillors and particularly Councillor Leppard, who has been diligent in the extreme in the amendments that have come before us tonight and which certainly I'll be supporting. I particularly also wanted to thank the many people who'd taken the time to write to councillors generally, but also to make contact with me personally. Many of whom gave an even lengthier history of the issue than Councillor Leppard did tonight, reminding me that it's 25 years since I first started to attend community consultation meetings about the CityLink project and the impact on Moonee Ponds Creek. It's been one of the issues which has been most passionately debated in the Kensington and North Melbourne communities for decades and decades, and Councillor Leppard spoke passionately and correctly about the need for much greater work to be done on reviving that space. During lockdown, it was an area that many people in our neighbourhoods used to exercise. Clearly, I didn't use it as much as I should have, but improvements to those areas can only improve the community life, which is exactly what our role is here in this room. For all of those reasons, I'd like to, as per the other speakers, encourage people to vote in favour of the motion before us, and to reassure the community that the kinds of amendments that we've seen and the kinds of work that this new version of the plan represents indicates just the interest that we have as councillors in reflecting the community's interest and values, and that as this process goes forward for years and decades to come, that as a council I'm sure we'll continue to listen to their voices and ensure that they're borne out in the work that comes through council.
Thank you, Councillor Griffiths. Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Given the scale and significance of the Macaulay Structure Plan, it's important that I recognise this work and the influence that it will have. The Macaulay Structure Plan, wow, sounds like these discussions have been going on for a very long time, but it's plans like this that are fundamental to the way that we're going to shape our city as we go forward. We know that we want to build back better, be more deliberate and thoughtful about how we plan for our city and its physical form, and the way that that not just influence but guides the uses and activities and things that happen, the people that will live here, work here, study and visit here. And Macaulay as a very important, and I think based on the length of discussions, somewhat neglected from a planning perspective in terms of the work that's gone into it. I'm saying now this plan reflects the importance of this neighbourhood, the technical expertise that's gone into developing this plan, the care, diligence and dedication of reviewing it by many people who are in this room, many people who aren't, both within the City of Melbourne, but I particularly wanted to highlight the active engagement of community members in shaping this plan, on being frank and fearless with their feedback, in being aspirational, but also setting what really are minimum requirements and standards for this neighbourhood, as much as setting the agenda for what we expect into the future. And of course, as a councillor, I want to thank the Deputy Lord Mayor and Councillor Leppert. Thank you for the extra effort and leadership you've shown on making sure that we can deliver this Macaulay Structure Plan. Sophie, to you and your team as well. And again, Simon, thank you for presenting tonight, and I know that you represent so many other people that have participated in this process. I commend this and I will be supporting it this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Are there any other speakers for or against this motion? Then I will briefly exercise my right of reply and say, after 10 years of work, this is indeed not the end, but the beginning of a new chapter, because in 2022 we will be working on the planning scheme amendments that will give effect to the land used and built form controls for Macaulay, which will deliver on this structure plan. So too much council business and thinking about Macaulay planning issues is barely enough, and there's plenty more of it coming in 2022. So without any further ado, I put the motion to vote. All councillors in favour, please raise your hands, and I declare that carried unanimously. And I now call on the Lord Mayor to resume the role of... Oh, apologies, there is actually one...
No, that's right, because this is now strategic planning.
Okay. Okay, you're right. I now call on the Lord Mayor to resume the role of Chair for the remainder of the meeting. Thank you,
Thanks.
Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Well, we're up to Agenda Item 6.4, City of Melbourne submission to the Victorian Government's Draft Inner Metro Land Use Framework Plan. I'm looking to see if anybody would like a presentation on this item. No, thank you. Then I would like a councillor please to move this motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Rees, thank you. And a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Leppett, thank you very much. Over to you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The purpose of this item is to seek endorsement of the City of Melbourne to submit to the DELWIP on the draft Inner Metro Land Use Framework Plan. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the acronym IMLUFP, but I will say that it is a major 30-year strategic vision which provides guidance on how the inner metro will shape population and employment growth, inform service and infrastructure development, guide public and private investment, protect the distinctive and historic characteristics of the inner metro region and improve environmental resilience. The City of Melbourne's submission offers support for 59% of the initiatives, in principle support with clarification for a further 18% of the initiatives, in principle support subject to addressing comments for 19% of the initiatives, and the submission does not support just 4% of the initiatives within the IMLUFP. Metro-wide planning obviously makes sense. Regional planning in the inner metro area obviously makes sense as well. I would say that it's important that we also have the governance structures in place to oversee that. And in saying that I support all of these things, I want to also emphasise that I do not believe that detracts in any way from the importance of local decisions being made about at a local level about matters of local placemaking and planning. Those decisions are best made at the local level, not at Spring Street. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. To you, Councillor Leppett, as seconder of the motion.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I agree with the Deputy Lord Mayor. Whilst this is largely a procedural matter in that we're regurgitating City of Melbourne policy and making a submission to DELP as to what should be in the regional policy, we shouldn't underestimate the significance of how the, I'm going to try an IMLUFPs, no, no one's using that, are going to be used, because they will all become regional policy in every metropolitan planning scheme at some point. And as we know, local policy cannot contradict higher policy, be it regional or state policy, where that sits at the front of our planning schemes. And so it's vital that the state government approved land use framework plans are accurate and informed by community sentiment and local government. DELP is negotiating, consulting, I should say, with small groups of community members directly, not with the elected representatives of any council. They have taken some information from the offices of council last year and earlier this year, but the missing piece there is a true, genuine collaboration between two levels of government as to what should be in these regional policies. And that's unfortunate, because for all of the consultation that local government is required to do on a deliberative basis with community, none of that is happening from the state government's end. So we're asking that when this does become regional policy, that local government and community has their say, that it's fully transparent, that it's fully accountable. There's no guarantee of that yet, but I think that is vital if we're going to get serious about planning at a metropolitan level and those six sub-metropolitan regional precincts. I am all for metropolitan planning, and it is important that we don't only leave the spatial distribution of housing and housing density to local councils. Otherwise, there'll be plenty of housing in the City of Melbourne and none in the City of Boroondara. I'm going to pick on Boroondara because everyone does. And so you do need to come together and come up with a metropolitan scale plan that works for everyone. But it can't only be top-down. It can't be full of mistakes, like putting out a freight plan that still has the east-west link on it because the minister forgot to take that out, or saying that the Docklands to Richmond strategic plan needs to be implemented, even though that master plan has been kept secret by the state government for 2.5 years. It is now declared a strategic, a priority urban renewal precinct, but without that master plan being public. Like, this is not good planning. We need to use this opportunity to improve the state of planning in Victoria. And this submission is excellent. So I want to thank our team for writing it. The tweaks here largely go to the Chapter 9 part of the IMLUFP, said it again, and I'm just seeking to ensure that we reflect our policy on environmentally sustainable design, because the draft plan only talks about emissions from buildings at the Australian level, and there's no thought so far about what the emissions from commercial and residential and industrial buildings in the inner city actually are and the reality of that. So I think that that is a part of the state government's proposed regional policy that really needs to be improved. Otherwise, the rhetoric about getting to net zero will be meaningless because the policy will not reflect what we need to do. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Councillors, would anybody else like to speak to this motion? No, then I'm putting this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous. We declare that motion carried. Thank you. It brings us to agenda item 6.5, which is Victorian Government Inquiry into Renewable Energy in Victoria. Would anybody like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. Then I am calling on a councillor to move this motion. Councillor Leppert, thank you. And a councillor to second this motion. Councillor Doidge, thank you. Over to you, Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm delighted that the Parliament has conducted this inquiry and has sought our advice because, as we know, and coming off the back of COP26, happening right now, we only have a limited amount of time to act. And the legislature is asking us what needs to be done in this state to facilitate renewable energy in Victoria and to measure the economic risks of the pace at which we're rolling out renewable energy. At the City of Melbourne, we know we're doing all sorts of exciting things. We bought a wind farm and now we're looking at community scale batteries, and the projects that we're embarking on here are genuinely exciting. There's a lot that the state can learn from. Similarly, there's a lot that we need the state to do if local communities, not just the City of Melbourne, but across the state, are able to roll out more renewable energy, to reform the way their energy networks work full stop, and to consider the long-term cost effectiveness of action right now. So this submission is another really high quality submission. Tiffany and team, I thank you for all of the work. We're talking here about Power Melbourne, our batteries initiative, and also what it needs, what the state will need to do to accelerate investment in renewable energy infrastructure to get us to 100%, to support vulnerable communities in the transition in our energy systems, and to accelerate divestment from fossil fuel energy supply. So I commend the report, the submission, and the motion. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Leppert. Over to Councillor
Deutsch. Thanks, Lord Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Leppert. I was thinking before that this item landing at FMC is kind of at the perfect time. You know, we've long been talking about the impacts of climate change and human behaviour and whatnot, but thanks to COP26 having finally wrapped up, it feels like climate policy is kind of fun and topical. I'm not going to go as far as to say sexy to talk about, but I feel like we're at that bit. Baby steps. Yeah, we can finally actually start talking about action policy in a way that everybody's embracing it. So, yeah, Tiffany, Krista, I know John's not here, but to everyone in the climate change team, you know, you're doing an amazing job, and it's not just the work that you put in, but it's obvious that you contribute a huge amount of passion to what you do. So that's really wonderful to be a part of, and I think that's demonstrated in the council's submission to this inquiry. And it's also demonstrating kind of active, or I suppose what Councillor Leppert's already articulated, but active commitment you know, to the initiatives that were kind of mentioned in the submission, you know, the Renewable Energy Project and Power Melbourne. You know, I genuinely believe that this city will soon be known globally as, you know, leading on climate change innovation, ambition, and that's through the council's actual work, actual action, so actual action. Anyway, happy to second this motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Doidge. Are there other speakers on this motion? Councillor Lalu, thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and more than happy to support this. I think it is the right time, and but also the how this report is actually done is really interesting and brings out Melbourne and its reputation for what he's trying to achieve in terms of our commitment to climate change and renewable energy. I think the fact that, you know, there's a potential for up to 123,000 jobs across Victoria in the renewable energy sector, it just shows that it doesn't have to be you know, a win-loss situation, but rather can be a win-win situation. I also think that the fact that we also look into the fact that we help stakeholders to move away from that, because I think that's important. We shouldn't be just leaving them in the lurch, but rather help guide the way. So more than happy to support this, because I think it is very, very topical. I think the fact that it needs something that is happening in Glasgow really just highlight the fact that we haven't really got ours properly, and we really do need to get it on properly. I hope that, you know, there's a federal and state election coming up soon. I hope that we do our utmost to not only promote Power Melbourne and also what Melbourne is trying to achieve, but also put forward to the federal government and the state government, which is, this one is doing, of their commitment as well, so that we ensure that all three levels of government is working together to unlock the benefits that is needed.
There are significant opportunities. Thank you for letting me know. I need to put my microphone on. I could see the panic on your faces. Opportunities for our city and community when we invest in renewable energy and emissions reduction technology, which is all the buzzword here in Australia. Melbourne is an innovation city. The City of Melbourne has taken ambitious steps to deliver new technologies and programs that drive down emissions. And I'm proud of the leadership that the City of Melbourne has shown over many, many years now. It's a fantastic legacy for us as the current councillor group, but also a responsibility to keep pushing forward on these issues. It does feel like we've been facing the headwinds, as they say, on battling to lead and deliver more on climate change at our level of government and others, as you said, Councillor Lalu, but it does feel that there are more winds at our back and under our wings, as the song goes, as we now take bigger strides forward. And our investments in MREP 1 and MREP 2 and now Power Melbourne really do set the standard in our sector to lead to a greater uptake of using renewables, creating new opportunities for research, generating new jobs, and further solidifying Melbourne's reputation as the centre for clean energy innovation. I think it's important in all of these discussions to keep thinking about that transition and what will help drive support for this transition, particularly given that we need to move at a pace. And so I'm particularly pleased that our submission identifies research that shows that accelerating investment in clean energy innovation can generate up to 123,000 new jobs here in Melbourne, and that is absolutely crucial, not just for reducing emissions, but at a time like this when we are facing such step change as a city and we are looking to bring the best and the brightest, the newest and the shiniest to the city of Melbourne. Australia is at a unique moment in time where political appetite for renewals is changing and it's growing. And I'm really pleased that the Victorian government is inviting submissions and leveraging this moment to continue the momentum towards a greater investment in clean energy innovation. This submission shows our creds, our dedication and our willingness to invest and deliver. I'm pleased that we're participating in COP26 this Thursday night, early Friday morning, for anybody who's up at that hour. But it does really speak to the work that we've been doing, and I thank everybody who's been involved in that work, to our team who prepared this report but is doing so much other work, particularly around delivery. Thank you very much, I'm really enthusiastically supporting this submission and all the other work we're undertaking at the moment on this issue, so thank you. I can now put it to the vote. Thank you. Is it that time of night? If there are no other speakers, then I'm putting it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous. We declare that motion carried. Thank you, councillors and team. We are moving on to item 6.6. And at this point, I'm suggesting that we consider a motion that's going to appear on our screens, I believe, which is a motion to defer. Councillors, referring to discussions that we've had today, I am moving this motion that the Future Melbourne Committee defers consideration of this item until Tuesday, the 30th of November 2021. I'm looking for a seconder, Councillor Leppett. Thank you. I am supporting this motion given the content and substance of the report is better considered at a later time when we have the full narrative around our plans and business case for the future. And I believe this deferral will give us a chance to have a more fulsome discussion about this particular item and the way it impacts our renewal plans overall, and importantly, the future that we want to deliver at Queen Victoria Market. So I am supporting this deferral this evening. Over to you, Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I agree, so I have nothing to add. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett, and noting that it was a good suggestion by you, so thank you. I am looking to see if there are any other speakers to this motion to defer. None, so we're putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. It's unanimous. Excellent. Thank you. So we defer that item. Thanks to everyone who gave us the submission and wanted to speak, and we look forward to hearing more from you on the 30th. We're moving to agenda item 6.7, Council Major Initiative 1, which is continue to strengthen Melbourne's economic recovery. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. Then I'm going to move the motion that is on the screen in relation to Major Initiative 1. Which is coming, and I'm looking for somebody, a councillor, please, to second this motion. Councillor Deutsch, thank you very much. Well, this is a really important update on key initiatives here at the City of Melbourne to do with revitalising our city. I do note that Councillor Campbell is an apology this evening and would otherwise be moving this motion and has been working hard on many of these initiatives. Melbourne City Revitalisation Fund is a landmark $200 million joint fund between the City of Melbourne and the Victorian Government to invest in bringing back the buzz to Melbourne. It builds on the $100 million joint Melbourne City Recovery Fund, and some of the initiatives in this report also reflect the work that's being funded under the Recovery Fund. Driving visitation to the city through activations, events, promotions, investments is a major focus for the City of Melbourne as we bounce back from this pandemic period. We recognise from our initiatives and through the fund that we need short, medium and long-term efforts to revitalise our city. We know just how important visitation is and footfall for so many, particularly of our small local business owners and their teams, their local businesses across retail, hospitality, events, arts, creative, culture, medical, hairdressing, even your favourite dry cleaner, and the list goes on, all really waiting and hanging on to the initiatives coming from us and state government as we boost our local economy and bring back that Melbourne vibrancy and vibe that we love so much. Our program of investments, activations and programs has been complementary to the other programs delivered during the pandemic period and the direct support received by businesses from the Victorian and federal governments, and we want to make sure that we continue to have cooperation, coordination and complementarity to ensure that not one effort or investment is wasted and that we get maximum leverage for the investments that we're making. So we will continue to work in cooperation, also, of course, with private sector as we move forward. The City of Melbourne wants to ensure that not only are we opening now, but that we stay open and that we have a strong momentum through this revitalisation. Some of the early metrics are fantastic and encouraging to see our visitation on weekends really climbing up towards that 80% of normal footfall or of pre-COVID footfall. But we do know that there's still a lot of work to do, particularly to welcome workers back and to ensure that our 7-day-a-week, 24-hour city is able to operate effectively and really bring back and retake our reputation as the most livable city in the world. One of the key features that was announced in the first tranche of the Melbourne City Revitalisation Fund on Sunday is Midweek Melbourne Money, a $5 million dining rebate that allows diners to receive 30% back on their dining bills up to a maximum of $500 spent. And that is another 10% on the 20% we gave for Melbourne Money. It's a brilliant promotion. It drove millions of dollars of value, not just in the hospitality sector, but the ripple impacts across retail, entertainment and other businesses. Just by bringing people to the city, it more than 260,000 claims made. And the 85% of the people that use Melbourne Money said it was the number one reason that brought them to the city for that visit. We want to do more of the same in midweek. Our traders and our data tells us that that's where some of our focus should be. So encouraging everybody to get involved in the initiatives delivered through the Melbourne City Revitalisation Fund, Midweek Melbourne Money being one of the most compelling. But at the end of the day, we do these things to encourage people to participate and come in and enjoy the city, and we hope that it's encouraging everybody out there to do exactly that. Thank you to everybody in our city economic and activation team. Katrina, you're here representing everyone this evening. The hard work is not unnoticed. It is appreciated and it is making a difference. So thank you very much. And it's been a really big effort during the pandemic period, but we know that a concerted combined effort is going to be required over the short, medium and long term. That's what our plans and strategies, that's what we have in place, and that's what we'll continue to deliver. And MCRF gives us the capacity to do so. So I'm really pleased to commend this evening, and thanks to Councillor Campbell and Councillor Deutsch for your leadership on this. Now handing over to you, Councillor Deutsch.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'm pretty happy to second this motion. I want to begin by actually noting the huge amount of activity being delivered by the Council in the pursuit of city recovery, and not just recovery from lockdown but recovery from the last 18 months. And something that really excites me, and I want to give the council officers a shout out for their work on this, but we already have a really huge schedule of activities and events beginning as early as next week. Yay for Fashion Festival and Harry Potter, anybody? and I'd encourage everyone to jump online and on any of the council's platforms, actually, And yeah, you'd easily be able to fill up your diaries pretty much until for the next few months, I reckon, with heaps of activities and things to do. And yeah, the fact that we managed to kick this off so quickly is, yeah, incredible work. We only came out of lockdown a few weeks ago, and there were still some pretty tough restrictions in place. So I want to acknowledge that the recovery of our city, though, it's not going to be easy, and nor can the council carry this alone. Our arts and entertainment industries, along with the retail and hospitality sector, are going to need a lot of support from the community. We really need to see our city workers return, and in particular, the thousands of public sector office workers who have been fortunate enough to be employed over the last 18 months, but working from home. So I really hope we can count on everyone to be a part of this and to participate and support our city's recovery. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Deutsch. Are there other speakers to this motion? Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Speaker, and to Lord Mayor and to Councillor Deutsch for your words. And I do want to also add my thanks to Katrina and the team for all your work and everyone at the city. I know that this past 18 months has been something that all of us here in Victoria share a special, and particularly in Melbourne, share a special trauma together. And it is taking a massive effort from so many people as we emerge out of these lockdowns and this pandemic into this new post-pandemic world. The work that's been done is phenomenal. And thank you to my fellow councillors for all your work in supporting all this. Thanks to, I do want to also extend thanks to everyone who has worked or supported businesses and other members of our communities during this difficult period, and echo Councillor Deutsch's comments around getting involved, getting out there, taking the time to continue to support local and do that within the new environment, and to take courage that we are bringing the buzz back, that we are moving into a new COVID normal, and we will create an environment that is thriving and that is going to be better than ever. It is so great to see everybody, so many of you back in the city, to see so many in our communities work on this shared purpose to strive for this new and thriving post-pandemic economy. It is a testament to the resilience and to the nature of Melburnians. So we are coming back. It is really exciting, really looking forward to a summer that is full of buzz and full of excitement. Thank you very much, everyone, and I will be supporting the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Hakim. To you, Councillor Griffiths.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you to the previous speakers. And again, thank you to Katrina and all of your team for the immense amount of work that sits underneath the words in the motion tonight. It's fantastic to be back at Town Hall tonight and to see the decorations going up on the outside of the building, and to walk around the city during a little bit of time this afternoon and to see the vibe that's coming back. We know we've got various forms of official data. I think most of us have probably invented our own other metrics for measuring how busy the city is. My personal one is how easy it is to manoeuvre two large English setters around the city, and I'm very happy to report that it is now increasingly difficult to get them down the footpaths of the CBD and the suburbs of Melbourne, which is a fantastic sign, if not for my dogs, certainly for all the businesses that rely on human beings going up and down those footpaths. There's so many fantastic programs that are mentioned here. There are a number that are based in the CBD, but it's also important to note that there are a number that are reaching out to the other parts of our municipality, and I really want to assure the businesses, the hospitality and retail businesses that are right across our area, that we're focused on increasing patronage for all of you, not just the CBD, and that we haven't lost sight of the fact that we have a very broad area that we're responsible for. So for all of those reasons and for all of the fantastic work that is mentioned in this paper, I'll be voting in favour of it.
Thank you very much. Councillor Griffiths, are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Liu, thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And just also wanted to recognise all the hard work that has been done by the council staff, in particularly, I guess, the business concierge team, which has made 4,700 contacts, and the work that they do, because it's invaluable in terms of providing support and just checking in. Also want to thank the many business who hold on and also to be still staying in the city for their commitment, because for us to open and everything, we need all the business and all the events and all the people to be within Melbourne so that there are reason to come into the city, reason to be here. While I note that this is the work that has been done, but I think there is still a lot of work to do. For example, the return of international students is very, very vital. We are a knowledge city, we're a university city, you know, and the profound effect of the international students have really, in a way, made not only business, but also residents and many other different areas to realise appreciation of the contributions that international students provide to this great city. And it's a shame that they're not here, but I think we will do everything we can to make sure that they are able to return, and also do what we can to ensure that their return is very, very much welcome and appreciated. I also think that there is a lot of work to be done with, you know, bringing people back. And just today, you know, for example, not only the office workers, but also the government workers, but also, for example, you know, the legal precinct, where that end of the town, which is usually bustling with lawyers and also people going through that area, we really do need to, you know, be advocating certain precinct and area to have that open, because you know, that area is probably one of the busiest, but now it's actually one of the dead, you know, it's dead silent. And I think, you know, there are things we need to do. So I think the amount of work that we have done shows that you know, the work involved is it's not easy, but we have done everything we can, and we will continue to do more than what we can to ensure that Melbourne is, you know, going back. And you know, growth will be such a key, because now you know, if you read most of the articles about the Great Resignation and also the great movement of people, more and more people is going to be leaving their jobs, leaving the country. So, you know, the fight for talent and fight for people is going to be more and more, you know, appealing, especially, you know, now that we need more people for the growth of the city. We were projected to be the number one city in Australia, you know, many years ago. And I hope that, you know, this is something that we still continue to aim for. But in order to do that, we actually need to get all our ducks in a row, and, you know, continue ensuring that Melbourne's economic recovery is putting at the forefront means that we are best placed to ensure that we have the brightest future. Thank you.
I've done it again. We're now voting. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. I'm out of practice. It's naughty. Thank you. This concludes reports from management to be considered in open session. There are no items of general business for consideration in open session. Councillors, are there any items of urgent business? No. I'm advising the meeting that we're at public questions time, and the two questions we'd received have now been dealt with earlier in the meeting. I want to say thanks to our team. We have our acting CEO, Alison Layton, here with us this evening. Many staff members, you've been incredibly responsive throughout this pandemic period. And of course, as soon as we're allowed to, we all wanted to be here in person, and you've made that happen. So thank you to everybody who's involved. It's still hybrid, which is great for maximum participation, but it really is terrific to be here. So thank you, Alison, and if you could pass that on to everyone, we're delighted. We're back. Thank you to the members of the public who attended in person, Mayor, and also who attended online. We declare the meeting closed at 7:28 p.m. Thank you.